And welcome into the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. We are live. This is actually Tuesday. We're live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. It is always about great service. Joseph, happy Tuesday morning. How are you?
Doing all right. One day closer, one day away from the SEC tournament. I'll be living at Bridgestone soon.
Get excited. Get excited. Busy week for you over there.
Yeah, should be fun, man. Should be a lot of fun.
We'll see what happens.
As we're talking, I'm going through Nick Baumgartner's mock draft. He's got Shedeur Sanders falling to 28.
Mm. Does he have Jackson Dart ahead of Shedeur Sanders?
No, okay. I don't think so.
What
would you think if your Packers got Matthew Golden at 24? Would you be happy about that?
Doing cartwheels over there, yes.
That'd be pretty good, probably. I don't know if I buy that's happening though.
I don't think he's gonna make it down there that far.
Yeah, I'm a little bit skeptical about that too.
But hey, I would take it.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Those number one receivers are flying off the board, man.
Yes, they are. We got a lot to get into today on the program. We will be hot and heavy into NFL free agency, reacting to day one and what the Titans have done to this point, and also what could still be out there for the Titans as free agency rages on here. Some answers we got yesterday on the quarterback front, elsewhere around the league. Big trade in the AFC South, which we'll get to a little bit later as well, but a pretty busy day. League-wide yesterday, not necessarily so much for the Titans.
No, but they lost. They lost their boy Zach.
They did.
So he's out of there. Hey, real quick, one more question for you before we get into the free agency stuff. What would you think about James Pierce at 54?
Yeah, I'd do that too.
This is your dream.
I will sign up for this draft right now.
Golden at 24 and Pierce at 54.
I'll do it,
dude. That's insane. If that
he's
happens,
not dropping that far, is he?
God, that's crazy.
What the heck did he do at Tennessee?
I mean,
he just looked at hypo and was like, I'm not going out there. I don't care what you say to me. I'm not going.
Well, I will say that there had to have been at least one Tennessee coach who said very not nice things about it. It has to be. This is here's a quote. Quote, there's been a lot of scouting buzz about Pierce's lack of coachability during his time at Tennessee, to the point where some aren't sure he'll go in the first or second round. End quote.
Let me tell you, if he was that good without being able to be coached,
I know.
Imagine if somebody could coach him
right
in the NFL.
Can you imagine? LT. LT part deux. Man, that's wild to me. That's wild.
Wow. I like Nick Baumgartner and the mock draft
friend of the show
going on. Yeah, friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of his mock draft is a friend of you.
Yes. Yes, it is. The Titans make some moves yesterday. They signed Dan Moore Jr., left tackle, formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers, to a four-year, $82 million deal, 50 of which is guaranteed. They also signed Cody Barton, formerly of Washington, and they signed him to a $21 million deal, $7 million per year, 3 years for Barton. So they also brought back Darryl Bakel Jr. and Morgan Cox back in the fold, brought back some of their own guys, but the two new additions, Cody Barton and Dan Moore Jr. So, Joe, let's just start with Dan Moore Jr. Obviously, we knew the Titans were going to, in some form or fashion, address the offensive line. I don't know that I believe that they're done addressing the offensive line, so we'll see what happens on that front through the remainder of free agency here. But Dan Moore Jr., 4 years, $82 million. We talked about him yesterday leading into free agency about some of the numbers there and what that looked like. Pittsburgh, at least their fan base, seemed to be pretty happy to get rid of him yesterday based on a lot of things that I read. But it looks like and sounds like he's going to come in and he's going to play left tackle, and J.C. Latham could be moving to the right side. So your initial reaction to the signing of Dan Moore Jr. by the Tennessee Titans?
I'm a little bit skeptical of this one. You know, it's funny because we were talking about Ronnie Stanley a couple weeks ago with the, you know, he's older and stuff, and it's like, I mean, like, it kind of comes down to, like, if the Ravens let him go out there, what does that really tell you? Because here's one thing that teams really don't do in this league. They don't let good offensive linemen get away. And I understand a Tennessee Titans fan will hear that and say, well, what about Jack Conklin? Yeah, I mean, it turned out to be a move that, while defensible at the time, was a disastrous move in the history of this franchise, because then you got into the right tackle vortex that
they still are in.
Well, I guess.
We'll see.
And here's another thing. On top of the fact that Pittsburgh was just fine letting him go out there and get overpaid, and I don't have a problem with the money. I mean, look, if you get decent tackle play from him, it's left tackle. And apparently he's – I know PK at least, and probably others have reported that this the plan here is J.C. Latham to the right side. And I'm skeptical, and I have a problem with that too, to be honest with you, because it's like – so you all last year it was all – everything's fine, and Latham's left tackle, and it's going to be great. And you've got, like, the foremost offensive line guru in your franchise, and you've already bailed on that. For a guy who – I'm trying to find these numbers again to, you know, to like, this guy has been – and, again, last year he got better. But this guy has been one of the worst pass-protecting tackles in the NFL. And he's a fourth-round pick, so he didn't come in with the huge expectations. But since entering in 21, the most sacks, 34, the most pressures, 181, the pressure rate of 7.6% is 242nd out of 275 players with at least 500 pass blocking snaps. I'm skeptical, man, you know, and it's just you go back to Dillard and Daly, and I would predict that he will be better than them, because, again, last year he did – he did get better. He made progress. He's only 26, but I'm skeptical. And you know, what does it say too that this whole big plan you had for the guy last year, you're already bailing on?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing, I guess, if you're a Titans fan looking for a sliver of hope on the Dan Moore Jr. front, that I would say is, coming to this division, at the moment anyway, you're not going to have to play Myles Garrett twice a year and Trey Hendrickson twice a year. So, now, look, you're not just going to avoid good pass rushers in the NFL, but he did have to play both of those guys two times a year. So I'm sure that his numbers against either one of those guys are probably not all that great.
Right.
When you pull it down.
And he gave up the most sacks. Right. He gave up 12 last year. But you're right. And now some people – this is an interesting one. You know, we get into the whole – how much does the blame does the QB get for sacks? Because, you know, again, I'm reading my site here. The Athletic says they figure that wasn't played like what you just said, but also by having Russell Wilson and Justin Fields at quarterback, I suppose. So maybe the Titans should bring in Russ and see how that goes.
Maybe so.
See if they can do better together.
On the surface, like, just in terms of the money, like, you look at it and you say, man, it's a 4-year deal. It's $82 million. 50 of which is guaranteed for a guy that, when you look at the numbers, it's not overly impressive. If you look at him and you've watched him on film and you feel like he can be a serviceable left tackle for you, a serviceable starting level left tackle, then I don't really care about the money. Like, the money, this is what free agency is. You're paying too much money to guys that probably at the end of the day, for the most part, are not going to earn it. But that's what free agency is. Like, you overpay for people. So, quite frankly, with what they've dealt with on the offensive line the last few years, I don't mind overpaying for guys on the offensive line if it gets it to a level that's at least adequate out there. The other part of this is, I guess, what concerns me more. I realize the guy who drafted this person is no longer here, just in terms of the general manager. But you did draft J.C. Latham 7th overall last year, and immediately talked about how it was to be your franchise left tackle, and that Bill Callahan was involved in the evaluation and felt like he could seamlessly transition from the right side to the left side. And here we are, Joe, less than a calendar year from when you drafted him, and you've already given up on that. You've moved him back to the right. Now,
or you will, reportedly.
You're going to reportedly move him back to the right. Now, if he ends up being a really, really good player at right tackle, can you live with that? Sure. But you drafted him 7th overall to be your franchise left tackle. And less than a year into it, you're saying, yeah, I don't know. We're going to have to go get somebody else to do that.
And you're moving him for, I'm sorry, a questionable left tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. You know, I the immediate reaction to this, I've seen some out there, is that, well, but he's got Callahan now. And again, you know, the last year obviously does not invalidate or erase, like, what Bill Callahan has done in his career at all. In fact, he did some magical stuff in the last stop at Cleveland. But, I mean, you know, last year the Callahan effect was not what you hoped, collectively, or even, again, with Jason Latham. Although, again, when I came away from that year, I did not come away from that year saying that guy's got to go to the right side. So we'll see. Maybe he'll go to the right side and he'll be way better.
Yeah.
You know, but just you're moving him for a guy who there are serious questions about this guy. And I just, again, I'm not saying he's going to be Dillard or Daly. If he's close to that, it's a disastrous signing. But I'm very skeptical of guys like this at 26 playing a position that important. And the team they were just on is like, yeah, go ahead. See ya. Good luck to you. That says something to me.
Yep.
That says probably more to me than the very alarming stats around this guy.
So we'll take your thoughts on the signing of Dan Moore Jr. by the Titans. What do you make of the move to place him at left tackle? What do you make of J.C. Latham reportedly going over to the right? We'll also get into the Cody Barton signing a little bit later in the hour. Take your thoughts on the Titans and all things NFL free agency, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and free agency, Dan Moore Jr., formerly of the Steelers, coming in to play left tackle. J.C. Latham moving to the right side. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Lots of reaction to this so far, Joe. Chris on the text line saying, did you guys forget all the free hits on Levis that Latham let go by last year? A lot of thoughts on the text line.
Read my answer. Read my answer, Robbie.
I don't have it. What'd you say?
I said, yeah, and he still had a better year than Dan Moore. I mean, like, I'm sorry. Like, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Ed's like, if Moore can play at Latham's level last year, it's a home run. If a four-year veteran LT can't match a rookie LT that never played before, then God help us. I said a home run. It's a home run? If he plays like Latham did last year? I mean, it's an improvement, I guess. But, again, I mean, I know we're going to talk a lot. I can tell already because I know everybody wants these moves to work out. We're going to talk a lot about what you brought up, the Hendrickson,
yeah,
Myles Garrett grading curve. I hope that's that means a lot. As someone pointed out, 5 of the 12 sacks he allowed were to those two guys. But, yeah, Ed says, compared to what I've seen the past 4 years, it'd be a grand slam. But, again, the past 4 years include last year, right? So you're telling me that if this veteran, who they just signed for a pretty healthy sum, comes in and plays at the same level of what Latham did last year, that's a home run. I can't wrap my head around that one, Ed. It's not a home run. He needs to be better than that. And he was worse than that last year. So I'm skeptical.
I mean, we've talked about Latham. I've said it multiple times. I don't think he's very good the last part of the season. Clearly, they don't either. I mean, right? Like, if they thought he was a promising left tackle, like, would you go do that? Like, I understand the idea of however way you shake it, you've got to solve the tackle spots. They had to solve right tackle. So this is their way of solving right tackle. They bring in a left tackle, and they move J.C. Latham over to the right side. So I get it, but it just – it feels like to me if you came away from last year feeling like J.C. Latham was your franchise future at left tackle, then wouldn't you keep him there? And then you'd just go solve right tackle some other way.
Right.
But they're clearly not doing that.
And if Dan Moore is a big upgrade and a huge answer for you again, why are the Steelers letting him go? I keep coming back to that, and I'm sorry, but, like, I can't get over that. That means something to me. I'm trying to find this. Multiple people have asked about the tweet. Was it Schefter? Maybe it wasn't Schefter. But basically the tweet about this deal got into the fact that Chad Brinker made the deal. First of all, it's just one of those weird tweets. Yeah, here you go. It's like, You know, Dan Moore reached a 4-year, $82 million. It's a super long tweet. And it says, deal includes 30 in 1 year, 50 in the first two. Jeff Nally and Graylin Crane of CAA negotiated the contract with Titans president of football operations, Chad Brinker.
There you go.
Thanks, Adam, because the entire football public really wanted to know that Jeff Nally and Graylin Crane negotiated that contract.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're continuing to let agents write your tweets for you. But, yeah, so people are looking at that like, oh, thanks for the reminder that it's Chad Brinker, not Mike Borgonzi, who's the GM. So, I don't know. I mean, I've never really changed on that. I mean, Borgonzi is going to be the face of this. Borgonzi is going to be the guy who talks about this stuff. San Fran makes moves. John Lynch does press conferences. Yet, Kyle Shanahan is the guy, right? The final say guy. I mean, I think any move, you know, Brinker, Borgonzi, again, we call them berserker, okay? That's also Burke Nihil, berserker, okay? Just call it that, and you know, whoever happens to be named gets named. But, I've never changed up that. I've never thought all of a sudden that it was like, oh, yeah, this is all just Borgonzi's show.
Yeah. Yeah, like, again, I don't necessarily have a problem with moving Latham to right tackle if he ends up being a great player there, right? Like, maybe the Titans just misevaluated where he's best at in the league. Like, he played right tackle in college. We talked about that a lot last year when in the immediate aftermath of them drafting him. Now, they have spent an entire season, like, working with him on the left side and trying to get the movements and everything that goes into playing the other side, and now it's just like, okay, well, unlearn that and go back to everything you were doing in college.
Right. Yeah. And
it's not like he can't do it. I understand that. And at the end of the day, do I feel better about the tackle setup right now than I did when it was Latham and Nicholas Petit-Frere? Yes.
Sure.
So ultimately, there's been improvement here. I guess I just wonder how much. Like, what's that going to look like?
Yeah, and that's the point Ed brings up, and that's fine. You can't look at this in a vacuum, compare left tackle. You have to compare Latham to MPF as well and what it does to the whole line. And I would agree. I mean, that'll be an upgrade. They won't be a disaster on the right side with Latham there. And what you hope is that Latham takes a big step. Maybe it is. Maybe the move is it's perfect for him. Yeah, the thing with Latham, of course, is he was at Alabama for 4 years. Three or four. Was he only there 3 years? I think it might have been just 3 years. But either way, that's the only time in his life he played the right side.
Yeah.
So.
But those are pretty important times, though. Like, it's
yeah.
3 years of college football is a long time.
So you hope that it's natural, snap your fingers, go back. And I mean, you're right. That will be an upgrade. So I can't get there on home run. I mean, if Moore is just what he was last year, then we're just going to be talking about left tackle next year.
Well, and it doesn't change my thought process on Latham from the standpoint of you've drafted him at number 7 overall. You need him to be great. Like, you need Latham to be a great player. And preferably, when you're drafting somebody at 7th overall, you need him to be a great left tackle. Now, they've given up on that, clearly. I mean, Dan Moore Jr. is going to be a left tackle. So, now they need J.C. Latham to be just an absolute pillar at right tackle. And I'm not talking, he's good. He's pretty good. Like, they need him to be an elite level right tackle. And if he's not that, then this is a problem. Like, I understand that Rand Carthon's gone. Chad Brinker was there. He was a part of drafting this. Like, Bill Callahan was a part of drafting J.C. Latham. They need him to be a great player on the offensive line. And, I mean, just the fact that they've decided to do this makes me skeptical about what it's going to be for Latham moving forward here.
Yeah. I mean, look, they've earned skepticism across the board, right? I mean, skepticism should be the default. Tyler points out that, you know, Troy Fautanu is the heir apparent. You know, they drafted him a year ago. Again, that's fine. He was 20th pick last year, so he'll slide in there, which makes it less likely that they're going to want to pay this guy. And you know, that's important context. I also would argue that if you have good offensive tackles in this league, you don't let them go. You rarely let them go. Again, the Titans did too. But that's good context. You know, another thing here, you know, again, you know, the Latham, now that, yeah, that pick becomes a right tackle last year, which some people will be deeply offended by at number 7. Now, Jack Conklin was number 8.
Yeah.
worked out all right, right? Like, so, yeah, if he's going to be good, like really good, and I mean, really, he's got to be very, like, great.
He's going to be great.
Right tackle, then, yeah. Okay. Then that doesn't bother me that you ultimately ended up drafting a right tackle at 7. Again, the Detroit Lions' best player is a right tackle, and he makes a huge difference for their entire team. So, I don't think Latham's going to be him, but I'm just saying.
That doesn't bother me either. What bothers me about it would be the misidentification of what he is. Yeah. Like, you thought clearly that he could be a left tackle, and less than a year into it, you're moving on. Like, you're moving him right back to the right side. So it's like, okay, is he not as good as you thought he was? Did you misidentify his ability to go play the left side? Could Bill Callahan not bring the best out of it? Like, what's going on here? Like, it's pretty quick into his career to be coming to this decision, right?
Yeah.
And people are like, well, he could just play left tackle in the future. I mean, I guess, yeah, at some point, but it's a 4-year deal. It's at least the next 2 that Dan Moore Jr. is going to be on the left side.
Right, yeah, because he's never done it. He has not done the other one that I know of. So, yeah, you're a right tackle now. LA, it all comes down to, I mean, it's a gigantic year for Bill Callahan Sr., for Big Bill, yeah, huge year, because it's got to pay off this year. And I just look at this, and I mean, to me, the preferred answer here would have been the guy Vrabel got,
yeah,
who we talked about yesterday. I always want to call him Moses Moody, which is just a real problem. Morgan Moses.
Start calling him Moses Moody, and like Kendrick Perkins is going to flash from my head. Yeah.
You know, three years, 24 for a straight up, clear right tackle.
Yeah.
Older, but again, so it's more of a patchwork job there. But I just, you know, then you're way less investment. You know what he is, and you keep Latham over there. But this is what they've done. So Latham's got to get better, and this guy's got to be a lot better than he's been.
More of your thoughts on the signing of Dan Moore Jr., plus what could still be coming for the Titans on the offensive line. They did make another signing yesterday that we'll get into as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in tomorrow on 102.5, 106.3, The Game for Vanderbilt men's basketball as the number 12-seeded Commodores take on number 13-seed Texas in the SEC men's basketball tournament. Tip off at 2:30, pregame beginning at 2 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 102.5, The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Continuing to take your thoughts on the Titans and the signing of Dan Moore Jr. Joe, a lot of thoughts on this signing, what this means for the offensive line, how much better have the Titans actually gotten with Dan Moore Jr. on the left side, J.C. Latham on the right side. Some on the text line think it's a massive upgrade. Some not as excited about the signing of Dan Moore Jr. on the text line.
Again, I agree with the point that you're better at right tackle now. You know, you move Latham over there, you're better. So that's good. So that's a collective step forward. But if Dan Moore is not, I mean, he's got to be better than Latham was last year, left tackle.
Yes.
Or, you know, or it's, again, are you better? Yes, but like the collective improvement is not enough to me to justify this price tag. So, look, people, last year, we've talked about this, but last year there was a step forward for Moore despite the 12 sacks. Yes, 5 of them to the big 2 there that he played in the AFC North. As Cam points out, pass block win rate 92.5%. Also, Cam says, and I can't believe I'm going to agree with Stilley, but maybe the most important stat is that he plays. Durability is good, but, you know, durability has its limitations if you suck. That's also the case. I'm not saying he will.
Andre Dillon was pretty durable here, wasn't he?
He was. I mean, he answered the bell every week. Andre, are you sure you can play? Hey, man, if you're not good, you can sit.
My God, he's still out there. He's just going on.
Andre, man, you look tired, man. Take a break, maybe. Oh. Don't play this week. Yeah, I just – look, it's – I'm skeptical. It's a huge year.
Let me be clear. I don't think that Dan Moore Jr. is Andre Dillard. Just pointing that out there.
Yeah, it better be a way better than that. But, again, like when you talk about 4 years of football and you have been almost the worst pass blocker in the league, I'm sorry. Like, And, you know, it's
the skepticism is warranted.
Yeah. Again, it got better last year. So what does that mean? That's the big question, right? Last year's improvement in some ways. How much improvement was it? Is that the trend? Is Callahan going to get the most out of him? All those, you know, those are fair questions. I'm not saying it's hopeless. I'm just skeptical.
Well, and this is, again, a situation where you would hope that before signing him to this contract, and I'm sure this is the case, that they did a pretty deep dive with Bill Callahan to ask him what he thought about this guy. And I'm sure that Callahan watched the film, and I doubt very seriously, and I know that some people think that this is just some lame duck year for this coaching staff, and maybe that's what it ends up being. But I still doubt very seriously that Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi, and this group go out and sign him if it's not with the blessing of Bill Callahan, right? If so, then I don't know what they're doing over there.
Well, that'd actually be a good question for Stilley. Yeah. He wants the coaches out of the – get the coaches out of the personnel. Here you go. Hey, Bill, see this guy? Yeah, that's your new left tackle. Thanks, Bill. Yeah,
I hope it didn't go that way.
Can you grab me a coffee? Yeah, I mean, I would hope so too. He's an incredible resource. Again, one underwhelming year here with a team that had all kinds of issues does not erase decades of what he's done in the league. So, yeah, you'd hope that he liked it. But, again, he loved Latham last year. He talked up Latham as the left tackle last year. That's over now. So, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think what you said earlier in the show is exactly how people should proceed with this group moving forward. Like, skepticism should be the default. And then if you're pleasantly surprised, great. Like, I hope Dan Moore Jr. comes out there and he is just an absolute wall and is just awesome next year. It'd be great. You know, Michael from Madison on the text line says, if I never have to see PT on the field again, that contract is worth every penny.
We don't call him PT on this show, Michael.
I'm just reading text.
I'm talking to Michael. That's some weird, dumb thing that Stilley made up. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm looking forward not having to watch Nicholas Petit Frere.
And hear, PT!
Now, the work's not done for the Titans on the offensive line. They still need another guard. So, is that going to be re-signing Dylan Radins? Is there anybody else out there on the guard market that they feel comes in and can fit what they want to do? I mean, the guards getting a lot of money on the market. We talked about, you know, the tweet from Pete Prisco yesterday in terms of, like, the feeling around the league was that the guards were going to get paid a lot of money, and a lot of those guys were good players, very few great players on that front. We saw, I mean, Green Bay had a huge deal with a guard. Like, there's –
who'd they get?
The dude from San Francisco who's right now, name escapes me. Hold on.
I know. I saw Bredesen. We mentioned Bredesen yesterday. He got – I think he re-upped. You got Becton out there.
Aaron Banks.
Okay. You got Freeze. You still have Freeze out there.
Freeze is out there.
You got Becton out there. Yeah, Macari. The Jags got Macari, Patrick Macari, yeah. three for 37.5. Tevin Jenkins is out there. No, I mean, look, I don't have a problem with the Titans – you know, we've talked about Scherf. He's out there still. I don't have a problem. The Dolphins got James Daniels. I don't have a problem with the Titans re-signing Radins, but the idea should be that he's your swing guard.
Yeah.
You got to sign a better – you got to sign a starter.
Should Will Freeze be the target for the Titans?
I think he's good. And, again, does he fit what Bill Callahan wants? Or does that matter? Does he fit what – Borgonzi, does that matter? Does he fit what Brinker wants to sign and have Schefter tweet about? I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, he's the most highly regarded guy still on the board right now.
Yeah, I mean, we've had some people bring up Skoronski on the text line in terms of, all right, so Skoronski now is going to be playing with his third different left tackle next to him in a three-year span.
And they made a huge deal out of that, the whole Skoronski-Latham combo for years to come.
Right. So how big a deal is that going to be? I don't know. We'll find out. And I would, you know, he's also, at least at the start of the year, going to be playing with a different center. We'll see what the Titans decide to do on that front and how long Cushenberry is going to be out. But you've got, you know, now a different left tackle, left guard combo that Skoronski has to deal with for the third time in 3 years. And then, I still think right guard's really important. Like, I'm with you. I don't mind Radins coming back if it's to be the swing guard. I don't want Dylan Radins being the starting right guard for this team. And like, maybe that's where they end up having to go. I don't know. But I think the bar should be higher than that. Like, the money part of this as it relates to Dan Moore Jr., I don't really care about. I have no problem with the Titans using the money this offseason and trying to fortify the offensive line. Right now, with the way things are set up in the draft, they don't have a third-round pick. You're just simply not going to be able to address everything in the draft. So I have no problem with them throwing money at the offensive line. You know, I wouldn't have had a problem yesterday if they threw a little money at the edge rusher, too. They haven't done that to this point, so we'll see what that looks like. But even though you've just spent a lot of money on a left tackle, I don't mind you spending more money on a guard. Like, try the best you can to get that line to where it's competent next year.
Yeah, your Packers spent $77 million over four on their guy. So
they did.
Not messing around, man. No, yeah, go get somebody for sure. Before free agency is over, if there's another tackle or guard,
yeah,
okay. Yeah, you know, I think you've got to remake that room largely. So texture here, I'm going back and forth with texture. It's like, hey, last year I listened to you and Robbie around this time talk about MPF. We all saw how that went. And, you know, that is true. Both of us thought he would not be an abject disaster and that it was worth trying him at right tackle. And, again, I think what we talked about was, okay, so he's had all this stuff, gambling, missed time, et cetera. Also, they just brought in Bill Callahan. Does that not matter? Would that not help him?
Let the record show, I did not want Nicholas Petitfrere to be the starting right tackle last year. So
okay, well, there you go. Okay, so it was just me. I thought, but
it's you and Kuharski. I didn't think he was going to be what we saw last year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and act like I thought he was going to be the worst right tackle on football, which right. is what he ended up being.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was like, yeah, improving on it would have been a good idea, but, you know, I get it. It makes sense to give him a shot. Well, it was terrible. I mean, it was terrible. So, you know, they need some of these things to start working out their way. I mean, maybe there's a little bit of a law of averages here with Dan Moore.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but maybe.
Maybe so. Titans did make another signing yesterday. We'll get your thoughts on that at the linebacker spot. Plus, what's going to be left on the table at quarterback for the Titans? We'll get into all that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the signing of Dan Moore Jr. on the tackle side of things. Joe, the Titans did make another signing yesterday. Cody Barton, linebacker, signed to a 3-year deal, $7 million per year. And you look at a guy, he's had, I think, over 100 tackles each of the last 3 years. Now, I saw this from TD yesterday, pointing this out. 2022, Barton had 136 tackles. He had 121 in 2023, 106 last year, which sounds good. And then TD says, you got to wonder if it's an improvement coverage-wise. That's where the Titans are lacking a veteran. But don't forget James Williams, Cedric Gray, part of the fold as well. What do you make of the Cody Barton signing, who I guess figures to be the starter alongside Kenneth Murray Jr. at this point for linebacker?
I suppose that would be the plan. Well, first of all, it's not a great reflection. I'm not surprised. They need to do something. But let's remind ourselves, you know, you mentioned Cedric Gray. Not a great reflection on the regime last year, which included Chad Brinker. Wasn't just Rand Carthon that drafted Cedric Gray.
Oh, was he there?
I think he was there.
All right.
Yeah. So, and then, yeah, I mean Williams, I think, you know, he's a special teams guy. That's how he's going to, you know, be in the state. We'll see. I mean, if he can keep developing at some point. But I wouldn't really right now consider him, like, seriously in the mix as, like, a heavy snap guy at that position. So, I think you're right. I think your starting two is probably what it is. So, and they needed to do something. It seems like, reading the tea leaves, maybe there are a couple of guys that went off the board yesterday that they would have preferred, would have paid more for. But I think it was an important signing, for sure. On the Brinker thing, by the way, Texter says, wasn't Brinker supposed to be their cap guy? I seem to remember Rand mentioning that. The tweet mentioned the contract details. Maybe think he's probably still doing salary cap, so he'd be heavily involved in contract negotiation for what it's worth. Well, actually, their cap guy is Vin Marino, Craig, who's been there forever through several regimes. You know, these teams, what they all have to have a cap person who is paid handsomely to handle the cap because it exists.
And Brinker has worked with the cap before.
So Brinker, yes, what you're thinking of, Craig, is that when Rand hired him, he talked about two models, one of which was the oft-discussed injury model, right? And then also some sort of a model to do with the cap. But no, he's not their quote-unquote cap guy. So he's as much the GM, if not more, the GM than anybody else here.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't bother me, I guess, that he was doing the negotiation with Dan Moore.
It's just a weird tweet.
It's just a weird tweet from Schefter. Like, I don't know if I saw that tweet on anybody else. It's like, this is who negotiated this deal for the 49ers. This is who negotiated this deal for the Packers. I didn't see that on any of the
others. Had sandwiches, then tea, then they signed the contract. Thank you, Adam.
So, like, it's not a huge deal at the end of this, but I think it does kind of show you that Chad Brinker is going to have his hands all over this as they move forward.
He's in charge. Yeah. I mean, he is at the top of the pyramid. So, yes. Now, you know, like moving forward, if things go poorly, I mean, we'll see. I mean, who the heck knows what ownership may do. But, like, if things go poorly, like the idea that, like a Borgonzi could be on the hook, but a Brinker wouldn't be, makes zero sense at all.
Absolutely not.
But, hey, lots of things have not made sense about this franchise.
So, Joe, an update on the quarterbacks. Sam Darnold, officially in Seattle. You've got Justin Fields landing with the New York Jets. Still no clarification exactly on where Rodgers is going to end up, although Mike Florio put it out there that there could be a deal in place between Rodgers and the Steelers as soon as today. So it does sound like Pittsburgh is in the driver's seat for the services of Aaron Rodgers at this point, which then leads to what in the world is going to happen with the New York Giants. Who's going to be the quarterback of the Giants? Will they turn to Russell Wilson? Will it be someone else? There was some stuff thrown out there yesterday that the Titans could have some interest in Russell Wilson, which has since been, I think, dismissed. PK put it out there last
PK
night.
PK blew that up.
He said that was never really a thing, that the Titans had any interest.
I mean, he obviously checked. He checked on it. You could tell based on – and who did have that, by the way?
Was that there was so much going on yesterday.
Yeah. I don't remember who had it first. But anyway, the way I read PK when he wasn't out there crapping on Jordan Schultz and getting himself killed, the way I read that was that he went and double-checked with the Titans, and they were like, no.
Yeah.
So Russ is out. Rodgers,
I mean, this is the
out.
Tweet from Kuharski. I don't know if the Titans are interested in Russell Wilson. There's a report out there. Or if Wilson is interested in people thinking the Titans are interested, we'll see. And then later, Kuharski followed it up with, let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, he followed it
up. He said, told there was nothing to this on the Russell Wilson point.
Yeah.
So, doesn't look like Russell Wilson's going to end up here.
Yeah. So, Dan Moore, Dan Moore, some people want to believe that Dan Moore's sacks allowed are all because of Russ. So, I guess he breathes a sigh of relief, right? That guy made me look terrible.
Thank God.
Yeah. I mean, I would have been perfect last year, not for him just running right into the guy I was blocking, like putting his head down and tackle me.
Well, Zach Wilson ended up in Miami, so Zach Wilson. Yeah.
Lost opportunity.
The QB room of Zach Wilson and Will Levis. Ain't going to happen, at least here.
And by the way, you know, a good – because, I definitely don't think Zach Wilson was the answer as a backup if you're drafting – you know, a quarterback.
No.
Mac Wilson, a little more believable.
Mac Jones.
My God, it's never going to stop.
That's really going to bother you.
I need him to be out of the league as soon as possible. Both of them, preferably. But you know what? A backup who, like Jacoby Brissett, again, I think is like perfect for the backup role if you're going to draft QB.
Yeah.
Another guy, Josh Dobbs.
Yeah.
Would have been good, but the Vrabster struck again.
Yeah,
the Braves just struck again and got him. So he is Drake May's backup now, which brings up Joe Milton being on the block, which brings up the whole PK trying to start a war
with George Schultz of
news-breaking NFL dorks.
Oh, that's awesome. What are your thoughts on the Darnold deal? So he ends up with a three-year deal, $100.5 million, gets $55 million. in guarantees. What do you make of that deal for Darnold in Seattle?
Well, I think what it shows you is, yeah, look, the market, like the Vikings were right in their decision to not tag him. And they would have been overpaying by quite a bit, which I'll raise my hand. There's another great example of me not reading the markets well in this league, because
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I thought he played well enough to be a guy, you know, at least in the 40s, around 40. The way these quarterback salaries are soaring, I think that's a good cheap deal for Seattle. And I mean, they're obviously deciding to do a reset. You know, Metcalf's out of there, Geno's out of there. I mean, they don't look too good next year at this point. You know, there's a long way to go with player acquisition, but I think it's a decent opportunity for him. And like, here you go. You're going to have some time with the team to try to grow with the team and show that you're that guy. And if he can pick up where he left off last year, well, not right where he left off, but if he can build on the overall performance, I mean, they in a couple of years, they may be real happy with how little they're paying for what they're getting.
Justin Fields with a 2-year deal in New York, $40 million, $30 million guaranteed. I don't know what they're doing, but we'll see what that ends up looking like. I don't know if they're going to draft somebody or I don't know. But I can tell you that Justin Fields in New York is not going to go well. So we'll see how that goes out there. Not a great organization and a player that has not shown much of anything at the NFL level. So.
And it's like at this point, if you're a quarterback, I mean, like, I understand, like, he – you know,
you take the deal.
You take the deal. You take a potential opportunity. But, yeah, I have to think that a rookie's part of the plan, right?
You would think. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Speaking of rookies potentially being a part of the plan at quarterback, what's next at quarterback for the Titans? There are still some options out there on the free agent market.
Mac Wilson.
big fan of Mac Wilson here on this program. Will the Titans address quarterback in
probably
free agency?
Not.
Or is the plan already in place for what they're going to do at quarterback with a certain rookie? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.